Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the third week of our series called Made for More, and this week Pastor Josh discusses the question, will you live a life worthy of your calling? Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, my name is Josh, and I want to welcome you to The Rock today. I'm just going to say to those of you online, sorry, I must have had a battery go bad because I've been just going at it for about 3 hours so far this morning. I'm not going to repeat everything I said because they heard me, but online I do want to welcome you, and I'm thankful that you are with us right now. All right, now, here's what I got to do. I got to get into this message. There's a lot to communicate today, and I want to hit this idea of being made for more. For 3 weeks now, we've been talking about it. This is the third week, and I want to say what I've already said. That God wants to do more in you and through you than you can possibly ask or imagine. All right? I'm going to sound like a broken record because I've said that the last 2 weeks. And again, I want to say today. And today I want to say it by asking this question. What is the immeasurably more that God wants to do in you or through you? What is the immeasurably more that God wants to do in you or through you? Like, wrestle with that. Last week, at the end of the message, I kind of wrapped it up by saying, what are you dreaming about? What is your immeasurably more? So even today, I want you to really wrestle with that and ask yourself, what is the immeasurably more that I've been called to? What is the immeasurably more that God wants to do in me? What is the immeasurably more that God wants to do through me? Because he wants to do immeasurably more through you, and he wants to do immeasurably more in you. And as I've started to talk to people and say, okay, have you thought about this? What are you dreaming about? What are you thinking about right now? And I've heard a multitude of answers. I heard one guy say, I want to help eradicate drug abuse at the beach. That's a big dream. That's worth celebrating. I had another lady say, I want to open up a home for battered women. All right, that's a big dream, all right? That's something that she's saying, this is on my heart, something I feel called to do. I heard another lady say that she wants to work with teenagers throughout Horry County, specifically with girls, and help them know who Jesus is and find their purpose in Christ. That's a big dream, all right? That's worth dreaming. I heard somebody else say that they want to memorize the Gospels, the four books that start the New Testament. Somebody else said that I want to practice my spirituality. I actually want to spend time with God on a daily basis all year long. Basically, those guys are saying there's something that God wants to do in me. I heard somebody else say, I want God to work in my friend circle, into my circle of influence, and I want everybody that I am connected to come to a saving relationship with Jesus. That's a big dream. To think about that, everybody in your circle of influence coming in to a saving relationship with Jesus. That was her dream. Somebody else said their dream is to give more than they've ever given in their life, all right? And somebody else said that their dream was to buy a piece of property and start a business so that they could have kingdom impact. Like, these are big dreams. And what I said to them is the same thing I'll say to you. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Like, think about your dream for a second. Think about your immeasurably more. And if God wants to do immeasurably more, all right, that's Ephesians 3:20. In you, that's Ephesians 1:27. And through you, that's Ephesians 2:10. If God wants to do immeasurably more in you and through you, then what are you going to do about it? Because it mandates a response. It's not like you can just sit there and say, yeah, I want God to change my life. Yeah, I want God to save my soul. Yeah, I want God to help me on the road of sobriety. Yeah, I want God to use me to impact these people over here. Yeah, I want God to use me to help my family. Like, it's great to say that, but then there's an action step that has to be done. That if God is calling you to it, then there is something that you have to do with it. And one of the things that Paul says what you have to do is you have to live worthy of that calling. Ephesians 4:1. This is the verse I want you to memorize today. All right, I want you to go home. I want you to really think about this. I've given you three so far, Ephesians 1:23, Ephesians 2:10, Ephesians 3:20, and now Ephesians 4:1. And this is what Ephesians 4:1 says. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, meaning that he has said, I've surrendered it all to him. I've surrendered it all to him. He says this, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. That if God is calling you and he's wanting to do something in you, then lead a life worthy of that. If God wants to work in you, then to say, then this is what I want to do in Christ. That if God is calling you to do something through you, then live a life worthy of that. Live worthy of that calling. And you might try to wrestle your way out of it and say, well, I don't think I've been called, okay? Well, according to Paul, who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he would beg to differ. Paul would say, nope, you have all been called by God. That means every one of you. That means everybody listening online. We've all been called. Not a single one of us have not been called by God. He has called each and every one of us. One way that he calls is he calls you to salvation. The Bible says that he desires that every man, every woman come to a point of salvation. That he says that he wants to see all men saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Which means that he wants you to step into a relationship with him. And that goes for everyone. And maybe you're here right now and maybe you haven't taken that step of faith yet. Maybe you're brand new in your walk, all right? Maybe you're just starting to wrestle with Jesus. I want you to know today, my hope for you today is that you will surrender to the calling of God. That maybe just today, maybe it was during worship already, maybe it'll be a little bit later, you'll feel the Holy Spirit working on your heart, and you'll say, I'm going to answer that call. But maybe the call for you is that God wants to do something through you. That God wants to do something in you, that's a calling for everybody, but it's also a calling that he wants to work through you. Again, Ephesians 2:10, that he has good works in store for you, that you may walk in them. So we've all have a calling for God to work in us. We all have a calling for God to work through us. So again, if that's the case, what are you going to do about it? How do you live a life worthy of the calling of God? Because that's tough. What I would challenge you to do today is to pursue more maturity and practice more generosity. Just think about those two statements. If I want to live the life that God has called me to, then I need to pursue more maturity and I need to practice more generosity. The idea of pursuing more maturity, that Christ wants you to become mature in him. That Christ doesn't want people just to say, okay, I'm going to invite you into my life. That's a great thing. We encourage that around here all the time. But he wants you to go further than that. If you remember last month or 2 months ago, I preached about being on the offensive. And we said we're on the offensive to make more and better disciples. A better way to say that would be more and mature disciples. We want you to mature in your walk because I want you to measure up to the fullness of Christ. That's what it says in Ephesians 4. All the verses I share with you today will be from Ephesians 4. This one, verse 13 says this, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up the full and complete standard of Christ. Do you see that? Let me underline it because I know it's such a great verse. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That's easy to complete, right? Is it just me or does that verse make you a little nervous? Because how many of y'all would say, I don't know if I can attain that verse. I don't know if I measure up, right? Like anybody else, like make mistakes? Anybody else screw up? Anybody else, like, right? Like, so when you read, like, we're supposed to measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Well, if we know what Christ's standard is, his standard is holiness, his standard is perfection, his standard is maturity, and we look at that and we're like, I can never get there. You're right, on your own you can't. On your own, you can't. On my own, I can't. The only way we can is through the power of Christ and through some other things that he gives us. That we got to do our part, but to measure up, what we really have to do is rely on Christ and rely on others. Look back at the beginning of the verse. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith. That if you want maturity, then you also have to pursue unity, because there's strength in numbers. Guys, the Christian walk was never intended to be lived on your own. The Christian walk was never intended to be pursued in isolation. Your faith walk was never intended to happen just inside of your own circle. Now, again, it's on you. But the way that you can mature is through the help of others. One of the things I hate about COVID is how people have socially distanced, people have socially isolated, and because of that, people have become fragile in their faith. Guys, I have conversations all the time about people who say, man, I've been struggling in my faith walk. And they say, I know it's because I haven't been at church, I haven't been around a community of believers, I haven't been spending time in God's word. Well, that means you don't have unity with God, and it means you don't have unity with others. So we got to strive for unity with others. Find other people who are rowing in the same direction, who are on an offensive for Christ and saying, I want to be mature in my faith walk, and go with them, because there's strength in unity. There's strength in unity. This making sense so far? There's strength in unity, all right? But let me keep going. It says this, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. There is one Lord, Jesus Christ. There is one faith. We surrender to his lordship, meaning we repent and we follow him. And then we take a step of baptism. And baptism, there's one baptism, meaning we're baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then notice this back end, who is over all, who is in all, and is living through all. You see it? It's there again. 3 weeks in a row, he wants to work in you and he wants to work through you. Will you let him? Well, maturity will happen when we seek unity with God and unity with others. What Paul was trying to say is to the people, he's like, man, listen, you're getting divided, you're getting separated, and we need to surrender to the lordship of Jesus, be one with him, and then one with others. Because other people's faith will help you mature. Other people's faith, other people rowing in the same direction as you, can help your maturity. So we got to make sure that we are in unity with others. Are you willing to do that? Because if you'll pursue unity with others, then it also means this. It means you'll celebrate diversity. If I'm going to pursue unity, then I have to celebrate diversity. Because if I'm in unity with people, then I have to make sure that people group is a diverse group. And I mean diversity on all levels, all right? I know it's easy to think, I wish everybody could just be 5'7" and a redhead. No. If that was the case, you know, we would be shortchanged. That was funny. But you know what I'm getting at. Like, we have to celebrate diversity. And diversity comes on all different ways. Diversity of age. Like, we have to be a church that welcomes diversity of age. Meaning this, that you hear me say it all the time. We are a church for this generation. That we're for kids, we're for teenagers, we're for young adults. That we want to do everything we can to make sure if you are of that age, that you say, this is my church. that you love your church, and that at this church you find a place where you can do kingdom work, where you find a church, a place where you can lead. That's all important. That is critical. Yet, we're a church for this generation, but we're not a church of only this generation. Like, many of you are just like me, and you can apply for your AARP card, right? You know what I'm saying? And some of you are older and some of you are younger, but what we're going to do is together we're going to move forward for maturity. Because here's the bottom line. Young people, teenagers, this gen, you can't come to a complete level of maturity unless you allow some people who are older than you invest in your life. And older people, we can't come to a complete level of maturity if we're not also learning from some younger people. That it takes a diversity of age for all of us to come to maturity. It takes diversity when it comes to our ethnicity. That our ethnicity leads to diversity, all right? That's obviously diverse. But if you think about it this way, when we are a church that has an ethnicity that is more than one race, then we learn from one another. All right, and that's the reason The Rock is not a church for one race. We are for if you're white, if you're black, if you're Hispanic, if you're Asian, if you're Native American, or whatever. Right? You with me? Oh, I'm going to have to just get loud on myself. Y'all ain't with me yet. Okay? Here's the critical reason for this. Is we learn from one another. We learn from one another. That when I worship with people who have a different ethnic background than me, I worship differently. I learn differently. Like, some of y'all grew up in church where your hands were in your pocket the whole time. Right? And all of a sudden you get around some different culture, like, oh, I can move a little bit. It's okay. We need to be a diverse church when it comes to age. We need to be a diverse church when it comes to ethnicity. We need to be a diverse church when it comes to socioeconomic, all right? That we are a church that has people who don't have any degrees, and we have a church where people have multiple degrees. We're a church where people make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we're a church where there's people who make hundreds of dollars, all right? That all together, it's important because we learn from one another. And this other area of diversity that I really want to hit on is in our gifting. That we have to be a church that is full of multiple gifts, of diverse gifts. Because if we're a church full of diverse gifts, then we can accomplish what God is calling us to, and that is maturity. Think about it. If you lived your life exclusively with people who had the exact same gifts as you, the exact same life as you, that nothing was different, then you wouldn't grow. You wouldn't win. Think about a football team. On a football team, you call people in the skills position, and then you have linemen. If you were a football team with only skills position, then you wouldn't win a single game because games are won in the trenches. All right? It takes the linemen. If you were a basketball team and all you had was shooting guards, then you wouldn't get the ball up the court and you wouldn't be able to rebound. It takes multiple gifts. And the same is true in the church. And here's the beauty. We're all gifted. God has given each and every one of us a gift. One, he's given you the gift of Jesus Christ. That's a gift that is for each and every one of us. But he's also given you a special gift on top of that. Look at this verse, Ephesians 4:7. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. He's given each of us a special gift. He's given you a gift, each of us a gift through the generosity of Christ, that you have a specific gift that was given to you by the Lord. Well, what is it? What are the spiritual gifts? Well, let me rattle through some of them. Ephesians says it this way. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And when you read that, you go, okay, I don't think I'm any of those. Like, that might be what you say. But that's not the only list of spiritual gifts in the Bible. It's also listed in 1 Corinthians, also listed in Romans. Here's the gifts that we see in the Bible. Leadership, teaching, administration, wisdom, prophecy, discernment, encouragement, shepherding, evangelism, apostleship, mercy. All right, I'm not reading them all, just highlighting them. That these are some of the gifts that God has given you. Right? That God has given you a diversity of gifts. Maybe not just one of them, maybe several of them. But you might look at that list and go, Josh, I still don't get it. What in the world do you mean by apostleship? And what do you mean by languages or mercy? Or, you know what I mean? So let me just get real practical with you for a second, okay? Look at some of these characteristics. These aren't from the Bible, okay? These are just characteristics of people, okay? Like some of you coach. Anybody here ever coached? Little League, rec ball, middle school, high school. Raise your hand if you've ever coached people, okay? So several of y'all. Some of you are good at listening. Anybody good at listening in here? Okay, I'm gonna take my hand down, okay? Loving kids, teens. Like, these are just things that maybe you're good at. And you might say, well, I'm good at that. Is that a spiritual gift? Chances are. And here's what I mean by that. Chances are that if you're good at coaching, then it means that you're good at leadership. If you're good at coaching, it means you're probably good at teaching. If you're good at coaching, then you're good at shepherding, which that word actually means pastoring, okay? Like if you're a coach, it means that whether you had 10 kids on your team or 25 kids, it means that your job was to look at them and lead them and teach them and take care of them and get them to the place in life they needed to go. That's what a coach does. So you might say, well, I'm good at coaching. Is that a spiritual gift? Yeah, go back to the Bible and see how it plays out, all right? That these are possibilities. Or maybe you're good at listening. If you're good at listening, chances are you're good at discernment, prophecy, or wisdom. That discernment, as I listen to somebody, I can hear what they're saying, and I can help them with some wisdom. Or prophecy, and you might hear that word and go, whoa, whoa, I thought prophecy was like telling the future. No. Now, what prophecy really is, in today's church, prophecy is just the speaking of truth. So if I listen well, I'm able to look at somebody, hear what they're saying, and reveal truth to them and speak truth to them. It's not like a mystery. It's just here's some truth, all right? Or maybe you're good at loving. If you're good at loving, chances are you're good at encouragement. Chances are. All right, that if you love to work with kids and teens, so maybe you're an educator, maybe you volunteer here, or maybe you work with kids out in the community, all right, chances are you have a gift of faith, because it takes a lot of faith to work with teenagers, right? You're like, she's sitting next to me, I don't want, you in agreement. I say that as a joke, but in reality it's true. And I could go further down that list that I could say maybe you're gifted with money, all right? That is a gift, that people have an understanding of how to use money, how to budget money, how to spend money, how to save money, how to give money, all right? Well, chances are if you're good with money, then you can come to a better understanding of having the gift of giving. Or you could look at maybe a business leader, all right? That maybe you lead a business, you start a business, something like that. Chances are you're great at leadership, or you're great at apostleship. And again, you might say, apostleship, what in the world is that? In today's world, in today's church, all that means is taking new ground. It means starting something. All right, you could even look at your Enneagram number. Some of you people that you love to look at your Enneagram numbers, all right? Chances are you could take your Enneagram number and find your spiritual gift. Meaning if you're a 9, chances are you have discernment as a spiritual gift. If you're a 7, chances are that you love to start things. If you're a 3, chances are that you're good at evangelism because you want somebody to cross the finish line. It's success oriented, all right? You see what I'm getting at? Look at the things in your life and then compare them to that list. And you might say, okay, Josh, why have you spent so much time talking about this? And here's why. Because your gift is not just for you, it is also for others. That your gift is for you. Your gift develops your maturity. But it's a whole lot further than that. Your gift helps others mature. And if we're not willing to use our gift, then what we're going to do is lead to our own immaturity and other people's immaturity. And what I want to make sure we catch today is that we have to live worthy of our calling, because I want you to mature in your walk, because I don't want you to start this walk and say, okay, I'll walk with Jesus. I'll try to accomplish this immeasurably more. But then because of hardship, because of difficulty, because it's not going the way I wanted to, because it didn't happen as fast as I want to, that all of a sudden you get blown away. that you get taken off path. That's what happens. You get blown away, you get taken off path when we don't mature. Look at this verse. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. And I want everybody to hear that, but especially those of you who are young, teenagers, young adults, listen to this. That I don't want you to get tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And the problem is, that's all our world tries to give us right now. That your social media tries to give you some new teaching. That, oh, hey, you need to act like this. You need to dress like this. You need to be like this. That maybe you go to a university and you have some professors that'll tell you, well, let me give you this new ideology. Let me give you this new thought. That old thought that you have with your faith, like you need to get rid of that. Let me give you something new. And it sounds good. You listen online, you listen to a new YouTuber, you listen to somebody's commercial. Like, it sounds good. But be careful, because it could trick you into a lie that sounds like truth. And that's the reason we got to find maturity, because in maturity we can go, nope. And then I got somebody who's heading in the same direction with me saying, nope. And then I can keep walking in the right direction. When we use our gift, then we become strong and we help others to be strong. Don't give in to this new teaching. Stay close to God's word. Scripture actually says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths and walk in them. And the ancient path that the scripture is talking about is God's word. Walk in it. And that happens through maturity. You have your part. But as your part and leaning on the unity of others and the diversity of others, together we can become mature. I want you to practice and pursue more maturity, but I also want you to practice more generosity. And we're going to go into a time of response. And as we do that, I want to hit this point of more generosity. Look what the scripture says. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. There's this one little part in there that I just love. It says, as each part does its own special work. As each part does its job. Do you know what that means? As you do your job, and 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 as I do my job, if we all do our jobs, well, how do we do that? You got to be generous. Be generous with your gift and be generous in your giving. Just think about your gift right now. Maybe your gift, is listening. Then who needs your ear? Because they need your wisdom. Maybe your gift is serving. Then who is it that you need to serve so that maybe they can be saved? That who needs your hospitality so that they can feel welcomed? That who needs your wisdom so that they can understand the word of God? See, if you have a gift, you can't sit on your gift. You have to use it for your maturity and for others. You got to be generous with it. It makes me think of a guy in our church. And what happened is probably three months ago, I was standing right here. And I was preaching to the camera. I remember just preaching to the camera. And there was a few of us in the room. And as I was preaching to the camera, I remember saying this. Maybe you'll remember this. Now, I remember saying, hey, if you're watching from home because you're socially distancing, because you have an illness that you need to take care of yourself, or you're protecting somebody who's older and you need to do that, I said, stay home. Do what you need to do for you and for the people you love and the people you minister to. But then I said this, but if you're at home because you've gotten comfortable, if you're in the Conway area and you're at home because you've gotten comfortable and complacent, I said, it's time to get off your butt and go to church. Anybody remember that? Okay? And I remember why I was saying it. I was like, I hope it's okay to say but. there was a guy watching from home. And he took a picture of the screen. And he texted it to Scott, who's one of our pastors. And he said, I'm sitting on my gift. I've gotten comfortable. I've gotten complacent. And I'm just sitting on it. I'm not using it. And I know that's hurting me. And it's hurting others. He said, I know God's called me to lead worship. And Scott said, well, let's get you connected. So it was about 2 months ago, maybe, that he was sitting right here with a couple of our worship team people in the middle of the week. And he started playing his guitar. And he just started weeping as he was singing a song. And the worship team, they're like, yeah, he can play, and yeah, he can sing. And he said, you know, I've been sitting on my gift. I came to the Lord through a guitar. He said, I was talking to a guy, and a guy handed me a guitar, and I started learning some chords, and he taught me a song, and it was a worship song, and as I started playing it and started singing it, I just heard the calling of the Lord, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. And he goes, and I know God has gifted me in this way, and I need to be using it for the kingdom, and I've just been sitting at home, so I'm done. If you'll have me on the worship team, I'd like to serve. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can serve. It's this guy who's standing right behind this microphone in a minute. His name's Jamin. And you heard him singing earlier. Jamin's gifted. Jamin has a gift. And he's using his gift not just for his maturity, but for others. Because this is what I know, that there's going to be somebody that comes to know who the Lord is because Jamin's leading a song in worship. And somebody's going to hear the words, they're going to hear the Spirit, and they're going to surrender their life to Christ. Or Jamin's going to sing a song, and it's going to give us evidence of God's goodness. And as he sings that song of evidence of God's goodness, you'll be like, yes, that is true. And your soul is going to be encouraged. You're going to start to mature, and you're going to say, I'm going to keep walking because I'm not going to let that false teaching get me down. I'm going to keep walking towards God with a biblical worldview. Because of what Jamin has surrendered to. Do you see what I'm getting at? He is generous with his gift, and because of that, it leads to his maturity and somebody else's. Be generous with your gift, whatever that gift might be. But then I also encourage you, be generous in your giving. Be generous in your giving, in your finances. And specifically, let me talk to those of you who call the rock home. That you need to be generous in your giving and say, God, Lord, I want to give to you because I know what I do is going to help me mature, but it's also going to help somebody else mature. It's going to help somebody else come to faith. It's going to help somebody else come to know who the Lord is. I want you to think about this. If you are here recently, then you are here because of somebody's generosity in the past. That you are maturing in your faith because of what somebody did in their faith before. So let's do it again. Let's do our part. Many of you know we're trying to build out a kids' wing on this side of our facility. In that wing, there'll be a room for kids with disabilities so that they can come to know the Lord and mature in their walk. Will you do your part? We're trying to build a church in Ainer right now. Last night, they had a trunk or treat in Ainer, and I heard it was between 400 and 500 people at best guess. This is what we know. The parking lot was packed. It was packed. And outreach went out, and people were able to say, yeah, in 2021, we'll be holding worship services in that building right there. Well, that's going to happen when we are generous. So let me challenge you right now. Give like you've never given before. My wife and I, we made a decision back at the beginning of the year to give to the Lord more than we've ever given before in our life. And I'll tell you more about that next week, about what he has done this year. But my challenge goes to all of us, make that commitment. I know it's an election year. I know there's a pandemic. I know there's all kinds of uncertainties. But what I am certain of is God is still on his throne, and God will still honor those who honor him. I know that. So think about it. Live a life worthy of your calling means that I'm going to pursue more maturity as I practice more generosity. And I want you to wrestle with that. Why don't you go ahead and stand? And we're going to sing a couple songs. And as we do this, I want you to respond how you need to. Maybe you need to come forward and take communion. There's communion on the front of the stage. Maybe you need to go to the prayer corner and just spend some time praying. Maybe you need to take a step of baptism like somebody did at our 10 o'clock hour. Maybe for you, it's just like, well, I don't even know what to do. All I know is that I feel like the Lord is calling me, but I don't really even know who Jesus is. It's like new to me. But maybe you're like, I'm ready to take a step. Listen, He's given you a gift of salvation. He wants you to come into a relationship with Him. And He can give you that gift, but if you never unwrap the package, it's like saying, I don't want the gift. He's offered the gift, but we have to take it and unwrap it. How do you unwrap it? Then you repent, you surrender, you follow Him, and you take that step. And let me just tell you, it's never too late to take a step towards Jesus as long as you have breath in your lungs. So take that step towards Jesus in maturity and generosity today. Pray with me. Jesus, I come before You. And I ask You right now, Father, just to move. Jesus, I ask You to do more than we can imagine. Because God, we know we can't measure up on our own, but through You we can. And with the help of others, it helps us to be able to do that. So God, help us to walk towards maturity. Help us to practice generosity and giving back to You. Jesus, help us to respond to the things we've discovered. In Your name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.